You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
I thought I would continue to talk about what these songs mean to me and why I chose them for this CD. The CD's name is Looking for a City, and you can find it on Spotify and these various other streaming platforms. I enjoy looking them up on YouTube, and so I encourage you to do that. Right now I want to look at the second song on the CD. It's named Hero. This song came to me in a way which it's happened to me before. I woke up in the morning and I had this chorus running through my head. The chorus was, you are the one who rescues me. You are the one who sets me free. And it kept going over and over and over in my head. In the past, what I have found is that if I stick with what it is that I feel as if perhaps the Holy Spirit is leading me in and write with that, then sometimes the songs really work out nicely. There have been times that I have followed what I consider to be the leading of the Spirit in writing a song and have hated the song, but I've written it in obedience, what I believed was obedience anyway, and then practically immediately thereafter, I end up writing a song that I really like. So I decided to go with this. You are the one who rescues me. You are the one who sets me free. It's going over and over and over in my head. And I'm thinking, because of the melody and the simplicity of the lyrics, I don't like this. I wouldn't want to listen to it. I don't want to sing it. You are the one who rescues me. You are the one who sets me free. And so what I decided to do in obedience was I got out the guitar later in the day and I started writing it, and all of a sudden, like the rest of this chorus came to me. When I cry to you, you answer me. You are my hero. And the concept of God being a hero, he's the one that went out to represent us. He is for us what David was for all of Israel when he went out and faced Goliath. It's like the Lord Jesus. He is amazing. He is our champion. He is our hero. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that the Lord has done for us because he is a wonderful person. So the chorus ended up being, you are the one who rescues me. You are the one who sets me free. When I cry to you, you answer me. You are my hero. Because I have experienced so often direct answers to prayer, deliverances, the miraculous rescues, and he has promised that he would help us. Instead of my continuing to talk about the song, what we're going to do is we'll have the song played, and then I'll talk about it after you listen to it.
Trust in me and wait expectantly. Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed that. I hope that it edified you. I want to talk about the lyrics because for me, lyrics are as important as the sound of the song itself. So I told you as to how I ended up with the chorus. When I began to write it, it was almost as if the Lord was saying to me, look what I've done for you and have confidence in me. Remember my promises. In John, it is recorded that the Lord said, whatever it is that we ask in his name, he would do for us. And later on in John's epistles, it says, when we ask things that are in accordance with his will, he'll do it for us. And the scriptures say over and over again that when we wait upon the Lord and we trust and we are expectant, that he is going to act on our behalf. And so there's the beginning of the song, which is sort of like a prophecy. The Lord saying, look what I've done for you, referring us to the cross. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? To which we might also say, this one who gave up his life for us to rescue us, won't he also take care of us? Won't he also answer our prayers, represent us to the Father? Won't he do these things? The answer is, of course he will. If he goes to the deepest part of our need, won't he also take care of the things that we also need, which are way less important? And Jesus said that if we seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, all the things that we need will be added to us. And he tells us, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Rather, pray, believe that you've received it, and you'll have it. So that's sort of like what this prophecy is about. Look what I've done for you. There's nothing I won't do. Put all your trust in me and wait expectantly. Then we go into the chorus, which is a response to that. And then we continue in the verses and the choruses to respond to that initial prophetic word. Now, I want to mention that although I am not necessarily quoting Bible verses, I prefer songs that are filled with devotional theology rather than, for me, what is merely my immediate heart's response, the overflow of my affections. Although there are many times where I really do have an overflow of love and devotion and awe towards God. I try not to write out of that so much as that which is biblical, that which is scriptural, that ends up having the effect upon my heart to stir me towards God. And so the first verse speaks of the Messiah's death and his resurrection. The mercy that you've shown your death upon the tree, that's like what mercy? It's the revelation of mercy. Next line, your favor set me free. Favor is the English word for charis. We translate charis as grace. Grace means favor. Your favor, your grace set me free. You have delivered me. And it's absolutely true. What it is that the Lord Jesus did upon the cross has set us free, has delivered us. Moving on, the mercy from your throne destroyed the enemy. It was God releasing mercy through Jesus that ended up wrecking the dominion of the devil. It wrecked it. I mean, he has moved in power to destroy the work and the authority of the enemy. Ultimately, he is going to return, and the enemy is going to be dealt with once and for all, ultimately, at the end of the millennium. With wrath and jealousy, your grace delivered me. Well, what was he angry at? What was he jealous over? He was jealous over us, over our hearts, over our allegiance, over our affection. He is angry at sin, which destroys our lives, which destroys the lives of other people. He is filled with wrath against the adversary, who is putting the entire world and the cultures of the world and the families of the world under this horrible oppression, this wicked demonic thing. With wrath and jealousy, your grace, your favor delivered me. On the cross, extraordinary love, but it was love manifested in wrath and jealousy, wrath against sin, wrath against the ravages of sin, wrath against what it is that we have done, wrath to some degree against what it is that we became, but jealous for our hearts to bring us back to himself. Then we go into the chorus again, and the next verse is, as a result of this redemptive work, now I am called your own. It's the given guarantee. Nothing can sever me. Your love delivered me. We really have entered into a whole new identity. What it is that God has done, what it is that the Lord Jesus has accomplished, we are now his own. We have been sealed with the Spirit. And the Lord has said that nothing can sever us, nothing can separate us from the love of God. In fact, his love in the past delivered us. Oh yeah, it did. And it shall deliver us. Next part of that verse, for sin you did atone, your blood was shed for me, forgiven righteously, justice delivered me. So this matter of the blood atonement of Jesus, for sin he did atone, and his blood was shed specifically for each one of us. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 speaks that the Lord himself loved us and gave himself up for us. Paul wrote, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Forgiven righteously, justice delivered me. Well, in 1 John it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The price that was paid, the delivering work of the Lord, has caused our forgiveness to be something which is released to us in righteousness. God established a high level of justice when he gave his Son, the Beloved One, to die for us upon the cross, and Jesus is the full partner in it. It's like, yes, Father, I will go. You have sent me. I will go. Not what it is that I want, what it is that you want. I'm going to sanctify myself for their sake. I'm giving myself up for them. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Well, is it right that God should hear that prayer? Is it right that God should honor our faith in what it is that he has done? He has done it specifically so that through our faith, we might enter into a whole new realm of existence. And it was the judgment of God against sin, against sickness, against the enemy, against selfishness, against that which is carnal and in opposition to God. It's the justice of God that was against that, that delivered all of us. You are the one who rescues me, the one who sets me free. When I cry to you, you answer me. You are my hero. Jesus did this for us. Then it goes into the cry of Moses. Moses is going, Lord, would you cause your goodness to pass before my eyes? May I see your glory? And this is like this cry in the midst of this thing. I'm taking a look at who it is that you are. I'm taking a look at what it is that you have done. Show me the motivation. Show me your goodness. Cause your goodness to pass before my eyes. I want to have revelation about the reality of redemption. And then it's like, cause your glory to pass before my eyes. You did deliver me. You delivered me, O God. O hero, deliver me now. Deliver me now in the midst of my circumstances, in the midst of all of the difficulties that I have in overcoming aspects of my character, issues of relationships that need to be healed, sin, sickness, the mission that we're upon. God, deliver us that we might be deliverers. Hero, the one who went forward, the one who went to the cross on our behalf, would you deliver us? And then the song basically ends with that prophetic word, assuring us, look what I've done for you. There's nothing I won't do. Put all your trust in me and wait expectantly. All of that comes out of the word of God, the promises of Jesus, and what it is that I believe that he really wants us to look at. We are to look at the goodness of what it is that he has done for us. We are to believe that he will act on our behalf. He will honor our trust. He will honor our faith. We do need to wait expectantly. He will go to bat for us in every situation. He is worthy of the term hero, our champion. Let's close this podcast with a song again.
Love and War is written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the books God's True Love and For the Sake of the Fathers. To purchase copies of David's books, please go to loveofgodproject.org. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, from the album Combustion, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. For more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, God's True Love, or For the Sake of the Fathers, visit us on restorationfellowshipny.com, loveofgodproject.org, book.forthesakeofthefathers.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, Love and War DH, and For the Sake of the Fathers. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_DH@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean.